Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Ice and Blood by Blake Arthur Peel. Narrated by Neil Heligers. The Living Worlds. The last great hope for humanity. The remnant of our lost civilization. The last solution to the fall. Seven worlds were created to shelter the consciousness of our broken society, worlds based on order rather than the forces of chaos. It was a fresh start, a new beginning, a new chance for us to destroy ourselves, as we did on the world of our birth, so very long ago. Xavier Markham, The Last Originator. Prologue.
Shut your freezing mouths. An ice worm will come and kill us all.
The other battleborn quickly fell silent, their expressions fading from jovial to grim as they stared into the depths of their fire. Torbjorn shook his shaggy head in irritation as he turned back to keep watch, his hard eyes scanning the desolate, windswept tundra beyond their little hollow.
Frost-cursed fools, he muttered quietly. They'll alert half the clan holds with all their yapping.
His breath steamed in front of his face as he spoke. The bitter cold of the Ice Barrens was especially brutal this night. When his vision readjusted to the gloom, he was able to get a full view of the bleak landscape, the light of the stars glistening on the freshly fallen snow. Fortunately, no ice worms appeared to devour them. The land was still and quiet as ever, except for the incessant howl of the wind. Wulfgard Battleborn had always protected this lonely stretch of the Ice Barrens, digging out burrows in the tundra and watching for signs of raiders. It was a favorite route for rival warbands, as it cut a straight path to the clan holds of the west. This late in the year, however, it was seldom traveled, which was ultimately why Torbjorn had chosen it for his watchpost. It was dull, freezing work with little chance of any action, but it was still important. The long hours and the solitude made it the perfect outpost for new Battleborn, as it taught them a valuable lesson. Patience. War was more than just battles and bloodshed. More often than not, it simply meant standing guard.
Would that a great worm did come and attack us, he thought, flexing his toes within his boots to work the blood back into them. Then at least I'd be warm.
Behind him, the men picked their conversation back up where they left off, albeit a bit more quietly than before. They joked amongst themselves, boasting of their fighting prowess and number of lasses they'd bedded. Torbjorn grunted in annoyance.
Full of piss and vinegar, these young bloods, he thought, heavy brows furrowing. Barely level two, and already they fancy themselves great warriors. Doubt any of them have buried their axe into another man, or been scared witless by a Vondheim raid. Still, I was like them once. Wasn't too long ago that I was on my first watch duty, idling away the night with the other young bloods.
The truth was, though, that most of his fellow Battleborn were dead. The blood feud with the other clan holds had existed for generations and claimed the lives of countless warriors over the years. A gust of wind came down from off the howling peaks, kicking up flurries of snow and ruffling Torbjorn's hair and beard. He pulled his cloak more tightly around himself and suppressed a shiver. Sometimes he wondered if the souls of those men had entered the immortal halls, or if they still wandered this land as specters. He continued staring out at the wastes, musing silently while the young bloods conversed behind him. His armor, layered with ringmail and furs, did little to stave off the chill of the night, and so he took to pacing, his boots crunching softly on the frozen ground. Time always passed slowly on assignments like this. If a man wasn't careful, he could doze off and miss an enemy hiding right in front of his face. Cracking a yawn, he made yet another round, his eyes still trained on the vast stretch of tundra before him. In another hour, he'd be able to rest and let Ugo take his place on the ridge. The wind would buffet the young blood for the rest of the night, and he would sleep comfortably by the fire. The thought brought a smirk to his lips. He liked Ugo, but a little time in the cold would do the lad good. He was a fiery one, and nothing quenched fire quite like the Ice Barrens. Looking up at the stars, he grunted.
Yes, not much more than an hour. Then I'll be able to put some food in my belly.
Torbjorn frowned as he gazed at the night sky, noticing for the first time a star that didn't belong in the firmament.
It glowed like an ember, a pinprick among pinpricks, though it seemed an entirely different hue than the others. In fact, as he watched, the star appeared to brighten, its size doubling, then tripling in a matter of minutes.
"Gods above," he whispered, eyes growing wide as the light seemed to fall. "Han, Ugo, look! Do my eyes deceive me?"
Their muttered curses told him that they didn't, and that the mysterious star was indeed plummeting toward Njordrasil. The entire tundra began to glow, the ice reflecting the odd greenish light for miles in all directions. As the star drew closer, a visceral fear gripped Torbjorn's heart, a primal urge to run away from a threat he could barely comprehend. He took a step backward, then another, nearly tumbling into the hollow that he and the other Battleborn had dug just a few hours earlier. The brightness grew so intense it was almost blinding. Tears streamed down Torbjorn's face as he stared. He couldn't look away. It was a great ball of molten stone and vibrant fire, carrying with it a terrible sound like the howl of a tempest. The roaring escalated until he thought his ears might bleed.
"Is this Nerukker?" Torbjorn wondered, horrified. "Is the end of the world upon us?"
He checked his stats. Full health, max durability on his armor. Not that it would make any difference. Even if he were level 20, he couldn't hope to survive such raw power. In the final moments of its descent, the star became brighter than the noonday sun. There was only noise and light, everything in existence consumed by its terrible majesty. There was nowhere to run, nowhere in all the world they could go to escape. Only an eternal roar that swelled until finally, impact. The star struck the tundra like the fist of a god, crashing into the ice barrens with such force that it caused the very ground to shake. Although the collision was miles away, the earthquake knocked down every Battleborn, trailed by a violent gust of wind that blew over them and extinguished their paltry fire. For a moment, Torbjorn thought that he might be dead. His ears rang painfully and his eyes saw nothing but searing whiteness. However, he realized that he was still breathing, and he could feel the hard frozen ground beneath his back. The noise of the crash faded to a rumble like distant thunder, and not long after his eyesight came back to him. The winking stars above welcomed him back to mortality. Torbjorn, along with the Youngbloods, shakily got to his feet. He checked his stats again and was surprised to see that he still had full health, though he now bore an affliction. Aftershock, -1 to all saving throws, attacks do half damage. Lasts 1 hour. Ears still ringing, he shook his head, causing a shower of dust-like snow to fall from his hair and beard.
"Gods, freeze me,"
he swore, blinking away the afterimage of the fallen star.
"Is everyone all right?"
"Yes, war leader,"
Ugo replied uneasily. The others, 5 in total, offered similar responses. Far in the distance, a pillar of smoke rose into the sky. It blotted out the stars and was accompanied by a dim green glow that illuminated the surrounding land.
"War leader, what the freezing hell was that?"
The question came from Han, who wore a troubled expression and a hog's hair coat crusted in a thin layer of frost. Torbjorn continued staring at the distant smoke and shrugged.
"A bad omen. A sign from the gods, perhaps. It doesn't matter. Whatever it was, we need to take a closer look."
The Youngbloods muttered amongst themselves.
"But, war leader, is that wise?"
Ugo's words sounded uncharacteristically timid.
"After all, it could be dangerous."
Torbjorn turned and shot him a hard look, the sort of disapproving expression that trainers were accustomed to giving novice warriors.
"Dangerous. Freeze me, boy, but are you battle-born or not?"
Ugo cast his eyes downward in shame. Sighing, Torbjorn rested a hand on the head of his axe and looked at each of the Youngbloods in turn.
"Our duty is to protect the clanholds, pure and simple. It's the only thing that matters. Whatever that thing is,"
he motioned vaguely behind him,
"we need to make sure it isn't going to hurt our people. That's what being a Battleborn is all about. Got it?"
The men all grunted their assent.
"Good," he replied gruffly. "Now, prepare yourselves. If there's danger, we'll greet it with Wolfguard valor. Honor and iron. Honor and iron,"
the Youngbloods repeated before shuffling off to retrieve their spears. Torbjorn watched them with a stern gaze, though his thoughts were on what they might find when they actually reached the crash site.
Children's stories flitted through his mind like shadows. Tales of demons and draugr come to enslave their souls filled him with a profound sense of dread, despite his brave words. He tried not to let his discomfort show. Foolishness, he thought, setting his jaw. In his nearly 40 years of life, he'd never come across a problem he couldn't solve with his axe. Once ready, the Youngbloods gathered before him, grim-faced and armed to the teeth. They looked to him for guidance, their eyes betraying the same unease that he had buried deep within himself.
"Keep your wits about you," he admonished. "There's no telling what we might run into out there." "Yes, war leader," came the reply.
Steeling himself, Torbjorn led the Youngbloods out of the hollow and onto the tundra, their boots stamping a path on the icy ground. The full force of the wind crashed into them, a bitter cold sinking deep into their bones and adding a new affliction. Chilled, movement slowed, disadvantaged to all fortitude and agility-saving throws, -3 stamina points. Travel on the ice barrens was slow, even in the most favorable of conditions. The lack of hills or mountains made the wind a constant nuisance, and the vast intermittent ice sheets were slick and hampered their walking. More than an hour passed, the party making its way in silence. They trudged single file, doggedly putting one foot in front of the other, every man lost in his own thoughts. Torbjorn found himself thinking about ice worms again, and the threat he'd made earlier. This was their domain. A worm could kill their entire party, he knew, devouring them all with ease. However, he quickly dismissed that fear. Although the great beasts were drawn to sound, the falling star would have scared them away. Everyone knew that ice worms were vulnerable to fire. As they drew closer to the crash site, Torbjorn began to feel lightheaded, his thoughts growing muddled as if he'd spent the entire night drinking mjöl. He found it difficult to think straight, his movements grew slower, and he swore that he could hear a voice speaking to him on the wind, a nearly imperceptible whisper that seemed to caress his mind.
"Children, children, come to me. The time for salvation is now."
The murmur was soothing, almost hypnotic, as he numbly pressed on.
"Do the spirits of the dead speak to me?" he wondered. "The men I've killed, have they come back from the immortal halls to haunt me?"
The idea made his stomach turn. It wasn't long until their destination came into sight. A smoking crater blasted into the tundra itself. Steam billowed from the enormous pit, and a strange energy crackled the air, making Torbjorn's scalp itch.
"Come to me, children. Your eternal destiny awaits."
Torbjorn shook his head, clearing away the fog. He looked to his men, nodding for them to do what they'd been trained to do. They fanned out and readied their weapons, cautiously approaching the lip of the crater with their spear tips lowered. Torbjorn pulled out his axe, the iron haft a familiar weight in his hands. It was a good weapon, and it had served him well in his many years defending the clanhold. God's willing, it wouldn't fail him now. As they crested the rise, the light of the fallen star washed over them, a pale, ghostly glow that felt oddly inviting. A massive, smoldering rock rested in the middle of the crater, surrounded by a growing pool of melted ice. It was covered in the shimmering runes of a language Torbjorn didn't recognize, and it appeared almost spherical, as if it had been purposefully shaped. For a moment, they stood transfixed by the sight, weapons held in uncertain hands as they studied the alien rock. Then, the disembodied voice spoke as if to them all, its resonance much more powerful than it had been before.
"Children of the First, I am pleased that you have come. Please come hither. Bask in the warmth of the great old ones."
The Youngbloods looked at Torbjorn, all pretenses of bravado gone. Bewildered, the war leader cleared his throat.
"We are battle-born of the clanhold Wolfgard. Who goes there?"
The voice paused, as if considering.
"I am known by many names, but to the children of the First I was known as Siryx, the Devourer."
Torbjorn furrowed his brows, his confusion deepening.
"You speak curiously, stranger. Step out from behind the rock. I would speak to you face to face."
Again the voice paused, and Torbjorn thought he sensed amusement coming from the star.
Put down your weapons, foolish children. They are meaningless. Your eternal destiny has arrived. Fighting it would be futile.
Leather creaked as Torbjorn tightened his grip on his axe, heat rising within his chest. Battleborn never surrendered their weapons. Honor forbade such cowardice.
Show yourself, he growled, and I will grant you a quick death.
He thought he heard laughter. It was an eerie, melodious sound.
A quick death? No, there is no such thing as a quick death. Not when it comes to the transmutation.
Torbjorn roared and leapt into the crater, his boots skidding on the ravaged stone. To their credit, the Youngbloods followed him, their battle cries as vigorous as any he'd ever heard. They charged the fallen star, their weapons raised as they searched for signs of the stranger, but as they circled it, they saw no one. Not a single enemy engaged them. Panting, Torbjorn stopped before the great rock, the lust for battle still raging in his blood. He examined the runes and, for an instant, considered bringing his axe to bear against them, chopping at the star with his hearth-forged iron. He was about to demand answers from the voice, to curse and shout in anger, when an unusual sound pricked his ears. It reminded him of the waves of the sea, a dull roar that crashed and receded, only to come back once again. He and the Youngblood stood mesmerized, watching the fallen star as the sound grew ever louder, coalescing into an ear-splitting thrum that rattled his teeth. A flash erupted from the runes, knocking him back with a force equal to what he'd felt when the star struck Njordrassil. Only this time, Torbjorn somehow managed to keep his wits about him. He gasped and blinked against the sudden brightness, rolling to his side and trying vainly to get to his feet.
Black magic, he thought groggily. Need to find my axe.
When his sight returned, he saw that the Youngbloods were on the ground as well, scattered like rag dolls. They gagged and kicked, clawing at their throats like men being strangled.
Ugo? Ugo!
He scrambled over to where the Youngblood thrashed on the cold stone. Ugo's eyes were bulging out of his skull, his veins swelling against his neck as something dark and slimy wriggled into his mouth. It was like an eel made from solid darkness, a tendril of shadow that violently forced its way into him. Torbjorn fought desperately to pull the thing away from the poor lad, but grasping it was trying to grasp an oiled rope. Its long, viscous form slipped right through his fingers. It descended into Ugo's throat, until only the bottom of its tail remained, like a wagging black tongue. Within seconds, Ugo went still, as did the other Youngbloods lying around him.
"I've always admired the will of your kind," the haunting voice said. "The children of the first are a determined breed. It is your greatest strength, and your greatest weakness."
Snarling, Torbjorn reached for the knife at his belt, his vision growing red as the desire to kill overwhelmed him. He jumped to his feet and turned to face the demon that attacked them, his knife raised and ready to throw. However, when he tried to step forward, something held him, an invisible force rooting his feet to the ground. No matter how hard he struggled, he was unable to move. Unknown magic. Strength check failed. Restrained.
"What sorcery is this?"
he demanded, his voice hoarse with rage. The star opened before him, the very rock blooming like a mudflower. Smoke poured from the opening, as if released from tremendous pressure, and a creature unlike anything Torbjorn had ever seen stepped out. A nightmare given flesh. The being wasn't human, nor was it akin to anything else on Njordrassil. It walked upright like a man, but that was where the similarities ended. Its skin was mottled green and purple, the color of an old bruise. Its fingers and toes were long and slender, barbed with black, cruel-looking nails. It wore a midnight robe, and stood at least a span taller than Torbjorn himself, with no discernible eyes and a tangle of dripping, convulsing tentacles in place of a face.
"Gods above," Torbjorn muttered. "Life-giving flame, preserve me. Save me from this evil."
The creature seemed to chuckle as it stepped from the star that was not a star.
"Your gods are dead, child of the first. At long last, The time for your eternal destiny has arrived.
With a slender finger, the creature pointed, and Torbjorn caught movement out of the corner of his eye.
One by one, the corpses of the fallen Youngbloods stood and shuffled over, arraying themselves in a wide circle around them. The tendrils that had wormed their way into their mouths shone with a purplish light, their tails hanging grotesquely from open jaws. The dead eyes of his former brethren stared sightlessly at him, even as their bodies moved of their own accord.
"What have you done to them?"
Torbjorn cried, his own body still frozen in place. "I have repurposed them," the creature replied, its tentacle mouth shifting. "The guise of free will has been stripped away. Now they can serve a higher purpose."
Despite himself, Torbjorn began to weep. The tears trickled down and froze almost instantly on his cheeks.
"Do not grieve for the fallen," the creature purred, its voice almost soothing in his mind. "Grieve for the living, for it is they who will suffer the wrath of Archon when he returns."
With that, the creature raised a hand, revealing a hole set in the center of its palm. Another dark, slimy tendril shot forth, landing in front of Torbjorn with a wet thud. The vile thing twitched to life almost immediately and slithered up the old warrior's leg, making its way inexorably toward his mouth. Chapter 1. Battleborn. Greatness isn't something you're born with. Believe me, this is a fact I know better than anyone. Memoir. Rune Plate 1. The crowd cheered as the two men pummeled each other, the cramped cave around them thick with the scent of blood and sweat. Jarl watched with fascination as the violence unfolded, both combatants struggling to beat the other senseless with nothing but their bare hands. He stood shoulder to shoulder with dozens of lowborn and middleborn onlookers, men and women who'd come from all over the clanhold to watch this contest of strength. They shouted and taunted from behind the painted circle, their demeanor almost feral as they observed the bout, and Jarl had to fight to stay near the front where his view was unobstructed.
"Give him a thrashing, Bjorn!"
one man yelled at his side, his eyes alight with bloodlust and his beard flecked with spittle. Bjorn, the bulky red-haired battleborn, wrapped his powerful arms around the other man's shoulders, the veins popping out of his neck as he strained to wrestle him to the ground. His opponent, the bald-headed Asker, held firm in his position, grunting in exertion as he grappled with the taller man. Both were shirtless and covered with a sheen of sweat. In fact, almost everyone in attendance was sweating profusely. Iron braziers burned all along the perimeter of the cavern, their glowing coals filling the air with a stifling heat. Jarl, however, barely noticed his own discomfort. His eyes were fixed on the fighting before him. "Asker is wearing him down," he muttered to Eric, noting the way the shorter man leveraged his opponent's weight to his advantage. His best friend snorted beside him.
"You freezing mad? Bjorn's favor to win. You think a man of that size will go down easily?"
Jarl didn't reply. He simply watched, amazed by the technique both warriors used as they fought. Strength versus agility. Brute force versus speed. "Asker's faster," he thought, noting how the smaller man managed to break away and easily avoid Bjorn's heavy-handed strikes. "All he needs to do is wait until his stamina is low, then attack when an opportunity presents itself." It was a winning strategy he'd seen before. Bjorn let out a frustrated roar and lunged for Asker, but his hands grasped only air. The shorter man dodged out of the way, managing to stay just out of Bjorn's reach.
"Catch that wily bastard, Stonebreaker!"
one of the onlookers shouted.
"Crack him on the head! Spill his brains!"
Already Jarl could see that Bjorn was slowing down, his hulking body growing sluggish as the fight dragged on. He swiped again and again, attempting to pull the other battleborn into another grapple, but each time Asker was able to deflect and evade, always moving just beyond his grasp. Growing desperate, Bjorn charged like a boar, his shoulder dropping as he attempted to knock Asker from the ring. The smaller man barely managed to dodge, and Bjorn stumbled, nearly falling out of the ring himself. "There it is," Jarl thought, noting Bjorn's exposed flank. Sure enough, Asker immediately pounced, rushing the red-haired giant with a raised fist. There was a loud crack as Asker's knuckles connected with the side of Bjorn's head,
causing the bigger man to instantly drop to his knees. Half the crowd cheered while the other half groaned, but all eyes watched closely as the large Battleborn struggled to gain control of his senses. Jarl couldn't see the damage that had been dealt, nor could he see the hit points that Bjorn lost. Stats were intrinsic, individual things, numbers that flitted like thoughts through a person's mind. They governed everything in the world, and right now, it appeared that Bjorn's stats were critically low. Asker circled his dazed opponent like a dire wolf, his countenance grim as the mob raged around him. Then, once more raising his swollen fist, he delivered a second, far more savage punch to Bjorn's jaw, sending him crashing unconscious to the ground. The crowd went wild.
"Freeze me, Jarl," Eric shouted over the cheers. "How is it you're always right about these things?"
He grinned broadly and looked at his friend, but saw that Jarl wasn't smiling or cheering at all. He just stood there, his eyes focused unblinkingly upon Asker.
"Hey, Beckstrom, what's wrong?"
He didn't answer. Several men pushed their way through the crowd and bent to remove Bjorn from the ring. Even with four of them, they had a difficult time hauling the big man off the ground. Huskarl Vig, a round, middle-aged highborn with a forked beard, stepped into the ring. As the fight's arbiter, it was his duty to declare a victor. He took the winning Battleborn's wrist and thrust his arm into the air.
"Asker wins!"
This was met by thunderous applause. Beaming, Vig looked around the cave, his other hand sweeping in a grand gesture.
"This has been a legendary fight. Our clanhold finally has a new champion. There are none bold enough to challenge Asker Iron Fists to fight."
"Iron Fists, Iron Fists,"
the crowd chanted the title, the new honor name. Jarl shouted too, but not in adoration. At first, his words were lost in the din, but when the noise faded, he shouted again, this time gaining everyone's attention.
"I'll challenge Asker Iron Fists."
The entire cavern fell into stunned silence.
"What are you doing?"
Eric hissed urgently at his side. Jarl ignored him and continued staring, his eyes never wavering from the sweat-streaked warrior before him.
"I will challenge Asker Iron Fists to fight," he repeated, "for the honor of being named the new champion."
For an instant, everyone regarded Jarl with shock and curiosity, gaping in the face of such an unprecedented challenge. Then, after the surprise wore off, they burst into raucous laughter, their scorn filling the cave.
"A lowborn fighting a battleborn? Wouldn't that be a sight? You daft boy? He'll break you in two."
"You're a right frostbitten fool, Jarl."
Their contempt was so great that for a moment, Jarl's stony demeanor nearly cracked. "You expected this," he reminded himself sternly. "You knew how they react when you challenged him to fight." The only one who didn't appear amused was Asker himself, the shirtless battleborn crossing his burly arms as he looked Jarl up and down. From his expression, he wasn't impressed with what he saw at all. He frowned deeply as his lips twisted, his posture indicating that Jarl presented no threat to him whatsoever. Vig stepped forward and leveled a finger at Jarl.
"You forget your place, boy," he said haughtily. "Asker is battleborn. You are not. Don't do anything that'll embarrass your family."
Pretending not to be intimidated, Jarl mirrored Asker's posture and crossed his arms, shrugging nonchalantly.
"I may not be battleborn, but I can still fight."
The greybeard scoffed and shook his balding head.
"I won't allow it. Such a spectacle would bring shame upon us all."
Jarl, his heartbeat quickening, met Vig's eyes with a determined stare.
"Perhaps it would. Or perhaps you're afraid that if I win, I'd bring shame upon you, Huskarl."
Those around him muttered to themselves, one man emitting a low whistle at Jarl's brashness. Eric covered his face and let out a muffled groan. Vig's cheeks flushed violet.
"You speak boldly for a mud farmer,"
he spat, his soft, many-ringed hands balling into fists.
"I doubt you'll be half as bold when you're flogged and strung up in a blizzard."
Asker cut off the arbiter's threat with an upraised hand.
"Enough," he rumbled, fixing Jarl with a flat expression. His visage was like that of a boulder. "Bold indeed."
He rubbed his chin as if seriously considering the younger man's offer, then nodded.
"I will fight this lowborn, if only to teach him a lesson."
There was no malice in his words, only cold dispassion. It was a simple statement of fact. Everyone else in the cave, however, erupted in a chorus of cheers.
"What have you done?"
Eric asked, face growing pale as snow.
"What I must," Jarl replied, pulling off his shirt.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?